Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And assalamu alaikum, I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the October 2021, 26th of October. What are you saying there in what is that, Hebrew?
No, that's your Arabic general Arabic? Greeting for hello.
Oh, it's Arabic.
Yeah, and you have, and you say, respond to me
they
with.
They sound very much the same.
They do. A lot of words like, it would be Shalom Aleichem in Hebrew, Assalamu Aleichem in Arabic. And your response would be, Aleichem.
My response would be, you're spitting in my face.
Yeah, well, still have a little bit of mummy tummy from the trip.
You took a trip to tell people, because I don't think everyone knows this.
So I took a little jaunt.
Took a trip with his wife.
Yeah.
And came back with a Muslim woman. You went to Egypt.
Yeah, I sent John a few pictures along the way. And he's always, as John does, gives me all sorts of ribbings and interesting insights into the pictures that I sent him. They were pretty cool, some of the pictures, though, right? I mean, of the.
Oh, yeah, you were hitting all the high spots of the area.
So we went to Egypt, and on the way over, I flew from Florida to JFK, JFK to Cairo. Is that right? No, excuse me. JFK to Istanbul, Istanbul to Cairo. Istanbul Airport, dynamite.
Didn't they say?
Beautiful.
Absolutely. I know, it cracks me up. You go into one of the most modern airports and slickest airports in the world. And is filled with a bunch of women in black top to bottom, beyond the burqa.
Right.
It's actually quite contrasty.
It's very contrasty. Not to mention the fact the whole country seems to be crumbling around Erdogan, but with the lira hitting an all-time low just this week.
Yeah, so, they're trying to get rid of that guy.
So there's some rules that we've been negotiating, looking at, about the whole way that you can get over to Israel, into Egypt. Egypt is a very strict country when it comes to COVID. They're not screwing around over there at all. You look at some other countries and you're thinking, okay, they're probably second, I would say, from what I saw to like China. They are not screwing around with this whole deal. And everything is sterilized. It's a lot of safety, a lot of things. Well, there's rules about how you have to get over to Egypt and what is required from the COVID standpoint. And one of the things is you can have a COVID vaccination card with a QR code, which we do not provide here, or you can have a PCR test within like 72 hours of your plane with a negative test with a QR code, which again, we still have problems with getting those over here. And I guess the QR code, even though they don't do anything with it, you just flash it in front of them. They're like, okay, you have a QR code. You're good to go.
Do they scan it with a QR code reader?
With their eyes? Yes.
I could put a QR code there that would, if you scanned it, would send you to Ace Hardware.
Correct. Or my website or our podcast.
Yeah, podcast, even better.
Yeah. So here's what happened. This is what was fascinating. I get to JFK. I'm like, okay, here's my negative test. Here's my vaccine card. I'm good to go. They're like, I'm sorry, sir. You have to have a QR code on your vaccine card or on your PCR test. I said, well, that doesn't seem to be what was there when I read it last. I said, yeah, there's an update today and this and that. And
they updated it on the just before you got there.
Exactly. And because I had friends that went the day before and they didn't have any problem. And you can't get on the plane in JFK or anywhere to go over to your final destination without the proper protocols.
For the final destination.
Yeah. So now, long story short, I have a hack that was given to me by someone who said, hey, what you need to do to get a QR code is go on the CDC, mycdc.com or something like that, right? And go in to give yourself your own QR code. Put your name in, your date of birth in, the dates of your vaccines, which company vaccine that you got. You do it on my mobile phone, right? As I'm standing there in front of the desk, I'm doing this. And then voila. Andrew Horowitz, here is your vaccine QR code. And you take a snapshot of it and you just put in your photos and you walk up and you're like, hey, look at this. Here's a QR code with the CDC and the PCR test that did not have the QR code, they're like, you're good to go. I said, how did, I said, oh, I'm thinking to myself, well, that's official, seriously, at the first blush. It's the CDC site. They must have matched me with somebody and something and the dates and the things. And the, I'm thinking, wait a second. I don't even think they have all that information on me that fast.
I wouldn't think so.
So that was totally...
Government system? Let's, come on.
No.
Government. It's a government system.
Yeah, so it was a total joke. I think that you could put in any information. It's on a, on a, on a trust factor of when you got your vaccine and you get this QR code that now is stored on mycdc.com. Isn't that weird?
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So it went from all the way from Cairo and Luxor, so the Great Pyramids of Giza, unbelievable. The Sphinx went.
Did you get to go inside?
We went inside a variety of places. We did go inside one area of the of the Great Pyramids. The one area they said it's not even worth. It's actually $25 to go in this little hole and there's nothing there.
Yeah, yeah.
But the museums were fantastic. The place is very dusty. But a couple things that stood out. A couple things that stood out. One, have you seen the movie The Crazy Rich Asians?
Not yet.
Okay. Everybody has seen it besides you. Okay, but everybody can imagine these weddings, these lavish, ridiculous, like, who has a wedding like that? No.
Chinese billionaires.
This is going on in Egypt. My hotel was at the foot of the pyramids, a Marriott. And there were two spots outdoors because you could do outdoors because it's 75 degrees, 15% humidity, absolutely not a cloud in the sky. It's like this the entire time at night. And these weddings, I can't even describe them to you. They're the lights, the searchlights, the back panels, the 15-piece orchestras. There's only one thing missing from these weddings. Alcohol.
Yeah.
No booze.
No booze in Egypt?
It was pretty difficult to get booze. And when you got your booze, like if you went up to a bar, you have a choice of the old, A-U-L-D, old something. What was it called? It was some whiskey that tasted like a mixture of kerosene and formaldehyde.
Yeah, for like what it was.
Yeah, $6 a glass. Or you can get like a J&B or a Chivas for like $40 a glass.
Sounds right.
Yeah, that was no good. The beer's okay. There was one called Meister, which was actually an 8% alcohol that was actually pretty good. I only got that in one place on the last day. Food, problematic. This is why they're so angry over there. It's gaseous. It's the falafel, the hummus, the tahini. There's stuff you eat in the morning called ful, which is a basically a... seriously, if you closed your eyes and you ate this, you would think you were eating a Sunday topping for ultimate nachos. All the beans and the stuff and the sour cream and all the stuff they put in it, that's what a breakfast is without the chips. Delicious, but by about 12, you feel like your stomach is going to explode.
Hmm.
So pretty good. We went from there and then down to Abu Sindel, which is a fast, it's like, it's almost like the, in Jordan, you know, Petra and Jordan, that kind of carvings into the side of a,
yeah, it's very much like that. I saw your pictures were good.
Yeah, so it was like that. That was
you took a lot of good photos.
Yeah, thanks. It was on the border of Sudan. So cool stuff. Glad to be back. Don't need to go there again. But and we say back
not from for the food, that's for sure.
Or the booze. As I say, I'm back from Africa because I asked them specifically, where are we located according to you? And my guide said,
yes, well, Africa.
Yeah, we're not in the Middle East. And by the way, there was six of us plus two guides and four other people. So like 10 people, 12 people on this bus and on these various private tours we took. There was a security detail with us the entire time with, I think the gun is called an M40. I believe it is. We had, every time we boarded the bus in the morning, bomb sniffing dogs all over the bus. And then throughout the city, the entire time, a police escort with the lights blaring. No kidding.
I wonder if drawing that much attention to you is that good of an idea.
I don't know, but I think it's a standard in Egypt, what I understand. Anytime you have multiple tourists that are touring various parts of Egypt. You have a, I mean, I had these cops behind me for hours driving with us. So all the way from Cairo to Alexandria, which is a three hour ride. So, and when they wanted to, they would pull, there would another police car would come, another one would come. They would push traffic aside for us. I'm not kidding.
Well, that's good. Just like you're in a funeral.
Exactly what it was like. So pretty cool. Nile River cruise was amazing. So great, great scenery. Very great to be there. Again, not going back. All right, let's get back to where we are now. Talking about the banks of Egypt and the Nile to the banks here in the United States with earnings. Some good earnings out of Bank of America, Goldman Sachs.
So that was your. How long did you work on that segue?
Just now. It just came to me. Honestly, just came.
Oh, good.
To me.
Well, that's good. I like
just,
it.
Just came to me. So the banks came out pretty good. We started to see some tech earnings this week. Inflation, we're getting some big warnings. Jack Dorsey said that, hyperinflation is here and it's going to spread around the world.
Well, he doesn't know Jack.
Yeah. Oh, how long, Dorsey. How long did he work on that?
What, my line right there?
Yeah. We're coming up with some wieners. All you have to, see, we take a week off and we refresh.
Yeah, yeah. We just get better.
The SEC is doing clawbacks, and they're trying to look at bad actors in the area of CEOs, et cetera, that kind of screw up and have in the past walked away with, hey, you're a bad boy, bye, take your $42 million bonus pool with you and get out. They're trying to do some clawbacks right now, and they're starting to do something there. And this week, we're going to be announcing the winner of the Moderna closest to the pin. So some cool stuff going on there. In terms of markets, Dow Jones Industrials, new record. S&P 500, new record. Nothing seems to stop the markets, no matter what. Tesla, massive move on earnings and news of a big order that hit. We'll talk about that. Who is the number one big shot of wealth in the world? Well, obviously, it's Elon Musk right now. Spec plays and SPACs are ramping. We got the new Trump SPAC flying high. This happened on my vacation, and I saw it one morning. I was reading all about it, and I told a friend on the bus about it, and I said, hey, check this out. This is interesting. I think it's going to be a bit of a runner. Buys it at 16. The next day on the bus, we're looking at it. It's 140.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. So I said to him, I'll tell you a story. So I said to him, I said, friend, you just made, I think he didn't buy a lot of it. You just made $14,000 on something you know nothing about that I told you I think would be interesting. I think you should sell some shares. So he,
bail out.
So he sold 50 shares. He says, I don't know. I'm like, what do you think? I think he said, what should I do? Now it goes to 175 momentarily by the end of the day, pulls back to about 140 again, 130. I said, this is what you should do. Layer out 10 shares at a time or 20 shares at a time at various prices down below and sell this thing off down to a really low level because it's, you know, it's a SPAC. Nobody knows what it's going to do, et cetera. We'll talk about what exactly they're doing. He says, you know, I believe in this thing. I'm like, you believe in what? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, Trump's involved and it could be this media thing. And I really think this is something that could really go. Who knows? It could be the next Amazon. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Does anybody realize how long you had to sit in Amazon?
Yeah. To get a 10
for it to be Amazon?
Right.
Nobody can sit on a stock that long.
Ah. So I said, listen, do me a favor. I'm giving you what I think. I'm telling you how to do it. I'm telling you how to set up the trades. Do what you want. Okay. Because I'm a long-termer. I'm like, okay, you know, I appreciate that. But this thing is a hollow piece of junk that is just being blown up for the sake of blowing it up, right? And it's
I believe in it.
$57 today.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Just came down the last couple of days. Facebook earnings and more. We got Microsoft, Twitter, Google, UPS out over the last couple of days. Microsoft, Twitter, Google today, UPS yesterday, Facebook out overnight yesterday. And it was like, oh, look at that. Not as bad as I thought. And oh, it's going to move up. Not like what happened with Snap. And all the analysts are like, oh, it's not as bad. The Apple update and privacy issues, not so bad. Looking good. Facebook's like, hey, we got problems. Don't worry about what Facebook says. We think it's good. Okay. Anyway, did a big turnaround today, down 3.5% or 4%, which is a big day for Facebook. even though the market's held up. We got crude oil up 25% since September. No inflation here, sir. And
well, that doesn't, they never count that, do they?
No. Why should you count crude oil? You don't spend money on crude, do you? No, no. You spend it on gasoline. That's different. Which is, of course, up 25% since September as well. But these are all transitory, passing, not to worry. They got a handle on it. We got lots of quotes from various players that came out this week doing a lot of defense of their positioning. And one thing that was said by Janet Yellen that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. By the way, can I just segue and move back to Egypt for a second?
Yeah.
I did learn what one of the most important bugs in Egypt is. Are you aware of this?
Probably not.
The scarab, which is the
The scarab. Yeah, they're very famous.
Yeah, the dung beetle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look that up, anybody that wants to know why the dung beetle is related to the sun and why the importance in Egypt.
I have my dung beetle story.
What do you have?
So I'm with the family. We're in South Africa, and we're at some camp someplace in the middle of nowhere, and it's a really nice place. It's like one of these resorts that they have. It's a game park, and they have these huts, and there's kind of a restaurant looking area, and it's all indoor and outdoor. And so this giant dung beetle is walking along the floor, and the things are huge. They're the size of your fist.
Wow, really?
Oh, a big, big boy. And so he's walking along the floor, and he's in somebody's way. So somebody kicks the dung beetle to get him out of the way, kind of like a cat. Kicks the dung beetle, and the dung beetle decides to flee by very slowly opening up his case and bringing out his wings.
Uh-oh.
And then he just takes off. And the thing is, dung beetles, it turns out, can fly away when they need to in an emergency, but they have no controlling mechanism.
It's like a helicopter with nobody at the wheel.
So there's this crow, basically a giant crow-sized thing flying around inside the restaurant, just bouncing off of stuff. You have to duck it goes passing by. Anyway, this is my dung beetle story.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Probably is more of the close to the size of a sparrow, but it was big.
Wow. And scary, probably making a lot of noise flapping around.
Well, it was the least of the problems. It just was out of control.
Yeah.
Dung beetles.
Let me kind of go back to this SPAC now and talk about this Trump media group that came onto the scene this week. There's an announcement that a company called, let me think about this, DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp, I think it is. It's going to roll in this... It's a SPAC. It's going to roll in this Trump media group and a social media platform, Truth Social, because, of course, nobody else tells the truth but Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So it claims it's going to be a place where and a place that encourages.
I signed up.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. There's some things going on about that, you know, by the way, about stealing code. Have you looked at that? They stole the code from an open source from Mastodon? Not giving them any
that
credit?
That we talked about that on the last No Agenda show. It turns out to be is open, kind of open source, semi-open source. They didn't steal anything.
They're utilizing it.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Right. They didn't steal it. They just didn't disclose the required disclosures.
Well, that could be. But most people.
That's the thing.
Most people who go first time they go into open source, they don't understand the mechanism, especially with the GNU stuff. They tend to screw up stuff like disclosures and making sure, and they don't understand that, you know, once you're on any GNU license, that means whatever you write that's attached to something else, you have to give it away.
Yeah.
They don't get any of it.
Right. The thing that says, hey, thanks, off the shelf, that was free. Hey,
thanks for the free software.
Right. Appreciate that. So that's the issue going on right now. That will be corrected. They have 30 days to correct it. They'll just put some disclosures somewhere, you know, in the back end. That this is based on the Mastodon, blah, 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 you know, copyright this and nothing, whatever. And who cares if it works? It doesn't matter.
They don't like Trump.
Well, that's true also. But I would think that especially if it's going to be that big of a site, that Mastodon would like to have their, or whoever the developer is, would like to have their little you know, time of in fame. So they're claiming that True Social will be a place that encourages an open, free, and honest global conversation without discriminating against political ideology. Whatever that means. TrueSocial.com.
It sounds like a nightmare waiting to happen.
DWAC was the symbol again, went from $10 to $175 over about 2 days and then rolled over hard. I think, like I said, after hours, something about $56, $57 per share. Still pretty good. I'll take from 10 to 57 all day long.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good.
Yep.
But that move, that and Funware, P-H-U-N, A-W-A-R-E, fun, P-H-U-N-W-A-R-E, something about they were involved in the 2020 election process, and that stock caught fire as well. All of a sudden, we have a lot of Trump stuff going on again. Rah-rah, sis-boom-ba. Tesla earnings looking good. Some areas of concern. Generally, you know, a couple little holes here and there, a little conversation about the automated driving and you know, the full, what's it called? FSD, full service drive. Anyway, they're automated driving. Nothing major in the earnings. It's a big problem. Things look good. You know, you can pick holes here and there, but generally speaking, doing pretty good. Then we get this monster, this incredible announcement yesterday. Humongous order from Hertz. You know, the company that was bankrupt like 2 months ago?
Yeah, they were bankrupt and people were trading the stock and you were asking them why.
Yep, and they made a bunch of money.
Yeah.
They made a bunch of money.
Who knew?
Company is now currently still traded, Hertz Global, buying 100,000 Model 3 cars over the next year and building a network of charging stations at supposedly full price too. Now, who buys 100,000 cars, much less 25? Not looking for a discount.
Even 25,000 at full price. They have fleet pricing for a reason.
Now, maybe there was a conversation that they got fleet pricing, but the fleet pricing was at full price versus, you know, what they're talking about getting full. When we think of full price, we're thinking about full price of retail, right? Maybe it was full price of fleet pricing.
Well, that's then, and here's the other possibility. They got, let's say, full price of fleet pricing, but within there, because this, you know, you got to remember these high tech guys, they come from a software hardware background where there's these EULAs. You had to sign an agreement to buy the cars. And in the agreement, it said you had to publicly state that you paid full price.
Full price for this contract.
Yeah.
Even though that may be a discount of something.
Whatever it means.
Bottom line is like $4 billion more money to Tesla. The idea, everybody's like, oh, what's going to happen is all these people that never drove a Tesla before are going to rent a car from Hertz and they're going to fall in love with it. And then they're going to buy their own. So now not only is it going to be utilized in the rental, but it's going to be like this epiphany, this moment where people who are never before been introduced to Tesla are going to be like, what is this? And they're going to go buy their own.
Please. Hey, yeah, I've rented Corvettes and I didn't go out and buy one.
Exactly. Right.
Or a Ferrari. They'd rent those too.
So the company Tesla hits the $1 trillion club in market cap yesterday after this announcement from Hertz. I'm still wondering where Hertz is coming up with $4 billion. Is Tesla lending it to them?
That's an interesting. Maybe they just created it like a General Electric operation,
right?
General Motors. They have their own lending within the company.
That's what Boeing does for their planes.
Yeah, you have to.
So maybe they're doing that. I don't know. But the point is, even if they have their own money, even if it's weird how Hertz was bankrupt and how, by the way, the whole idea of rental cars was forgotten. Right?
Dead.
Why would we need such a thing? You got the Ubers, you got the Lyfts, you got the scooters, which you don't see any of those that many around here anymore.
Maybe I've seen one scooter in the last 3 months. It was in Oakland.
Yeah, you have that going on. Nobody's going out anyway. And why would we need to have a rental car? So all of a sudden, Hertz comes out of this mysterious bankruptcy and now all of a sudden has lots of money because they discharged their debt, of course. And here they are buying 100,000 cars. And then, of course, the next commentary after, well, this is going to be great because it's going to introduce all these retail people into the Tesla and they're going to buy it after they rent it, is this is just a tip of the iceberg. Because now there's probably going to be a lot of other players that are going to need to do the same. You got Enterprise, you got Sixth, you got, you know, Avis, or whoever, just name whoever it is out there. They're also going to have to buy and get involved in this. So this is going to be huge for them. Now, nobody mentions this, like alternatives like, you know, General Motors or Ford.
Yeah, the Ford Mustang?
Yeah, the new one.
Well, here's the other thing. So I go to Hertz and rent myself a Tesla 3, mm-hmm. which is the one model I don't really think much of. And I drive it around, it probably has a range of about 300 miles, let's say. And I usually put a couple hundred miles maybe on a rental. Mm-hmm. Depends how far away I am from the airport. There's a whole bunch of factors. And so I bring it back. Do they, since it's not going to have the full charge anymore, do I have to pay extra money?
That was the other thing. It was like, no longer, you know, these articles, no longer will people have to be scammed by paying $6 a gallon when they return their cars half empty. Or that horrifying moment when you rent a car and they ask that dreaded question, would you like a full tank or empty when you return? You're like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I'm going to do, I think is going to be wrong. So
yeah, I always take the full tank option and find a gas tank.
Exactly. Just not too close to the airport because it's very expensive.
Not too close, but close enough.
Yeah. So that's kind of going on there. Tesla also increased their prices on some of the lineup. And things are going swimmingly well, it seems, for their China, which is a huge boom for them in that area. The big issue right now is still these charging stations and the electric grid, as well as natural gas and coal and things of that nature. I think coal stockpiles hit like an all-time low today. You just got to wonder what's going on out there.
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Are the coal plants cranking it up, or what's the deal?
Well, you know, you got the COVID situation, so therefore you got people that are not working at certain areas. You got people not working because they're like, screw. You know, the latest thing that I've been seeing over and over again on Twitter is people posting these probably fake iMessage conversations with their boss, where the boss says, hey, John, you know what? I really need you to think about coming in during Thanksgiving because, Lisa has left the company and we really need this coverage. It's really going to be like all hands on deck, you know? And John writes back, oh, well, if you recall, I asked and was approved for that personal time off, the PTO, for Thanksgiving. I don't think I could do it. And the boss comes back and says, PTO has been, PTO has been canceled, or that request has been disavowed, or you know. And then the other guy, then John says, well, then you know what? Blah, 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 you. I quit for real. And screw you, let your company go to hell, I'm out. This is like, and then there's the other one that says.
So you're going to not only quit, but you're going to chew the guy out for just suggesting that you come in on Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Or then the other one is the other side, which continues on further.
I should write up a couple of these fake notes myself and post them.
The following one is John then says, then the boss says, really? Well, I'm sorry to see you go. And then the follow-up is, well, let's say that they're different sexes. Does that mean we could finally have sex because we're no longer working at the same company? You know, it's the stupid things like this, right?
Yeah.
This is a thing that's going on. What it's doing, though, is it is trying to break the hierarchy of employment, the respect that you're supposed to have for your higher-ups. The general respect, the fact that you and the gratitude that you have for having a job.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. There's a lot of it. A lot of things are eating away at that old precept, the two of them. One, you should be happy you have a job.
Yeah.
Which is gone by the wayside. And then the other one is the respect, the up and down respect.
When I used to hire people, I always used to say the same thing. I said, I want to let you know something. We're a small company and everybody is responsible to do anything. For example, I will be not happy to, but I, if I had to clean out the garbage or clean out the bathroom, I would go do it. If I asked you to do it, I would expect you to do it because I would do it as well. Now, if I said that to somebody, they'd be like, hell no. It's your company.
Wait, I tell you what, it's the first thing it says, well, yeah, really? Well, then you go do it.
Yeah, you go do it. Have at it. Have at it.
Get it your own damn self.
Yeah, right. So with Tesla, with the big move on the stock, Elon Musk is far and away by a wide margin, really wide margin. Now the richest man in the world. His net worth is more than Exxon. and many small countries as well.
If you ever go to a bar,
yeah,
he's buying.
Yeah. So I gave a rich people list here, and this is as of the close of Friday. This does not include the major move that happened on Monday. But I was pretty shocked when I saw this. Again, without that move on Monday. This is available on the show notes for episode number 578 on dhunplugged.com. The differential, again, without the big move, between Bezos, who had held the number one spot for a long time after he gave it up, or he got grabbed it from Bill Gates, which was there forever, is like $60 billion.
Yeah, that's a bit.
And now it's even more. So Jeff Bezos worth $193 billion. Elon Musk worth $252 billion. Question, though, remains still about, I don't know the answer to this, whether or not Jeff Bezos is just half after the divorce.
It doesn't seem to be a question anyone's answering.
Nobody's answering it. And Bill Gates, is that after his divorce too? 134?
I don't think his settlement has been, we don't know what it is.
Still, it's a lot of money. And this is called the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. It's a daily ranking of the world's richest people. So if you don't feel bad enough about yourself,
go to Bloomberg.
Go over here. Go over here on a regular basis. Find out how much more wealthy people are than you are. Larry Page, $123 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, $121 billion. Bernie Arnault, $166. He's the only one on the list that's not technology, and the only one on the list that's not in the United States. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Elon, some people think, that's possible. I mean, he was worth $25 billion. I was worth $252 billion, which makes it 10x growth.
Mm-hmm.
Can he quadruple his current wealth and become the world's first trillionaire?
Possibly the way things are going, especially if they actually make some decent profits.
I think so.
Yeah, it is possible.
Well, some people are predicting this. I don't think Bezos can make it because Bezos is run up is already kind of past its peak, and nobody else on this list can do it. Elon's the only one. So he could become a trillionaire. That would be kind of amusing.
Yeah.
I don't amazing. Know what does for anybody, but
Facebook earnings, we saw that after a spook last week from Snapchat, which dropped 25% on earnings outlook due to the new Apple privacy settings. Facebook earnings came out, and the good news is, again, it wasn't as bad as Snap. That's the big thing they were talking about constantly over and over again. Well, it's not as bad as Snap, but there's still some real problems. They missed on a variety of metrics, and outlook is still very concerning. Stock was up 4% after the print, as I mentioned, faded and reversed lower. Now it's below the 200-day moving average during the regular session, something it hasn't done in a long time. So the other thing the other thing they're doing is and this needs to be, I think it should be, it's obviously a tell. They are going on and on and on about spending billions of dollars on this metaverse thing. So you can actually go visit Egypt without ever leaving your lazy boy. Right?
Yeah, this is not an, I mean, this technology has been around since Microsoft first showed it probably 20 years ago when they had a couple of systems out there where they were collecting photos from everybody in the world and then piecing them together and then creating a virtual reality you could walk into and roam around the streets of Paris. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Google came along with its street views of everything, which is similar, only they just took the photos themselves. And I still use a street view to go look at, like, I'm going to go visit somebody or I feel like driving around the northern Bordeaux area. Mm. I'll go on to Google and drive around in the area and say, geez. And I mean, I've driven around Bordeaux. I've been to Bordeaux a lot, but recently, no, I go to Google and I check it out. And this is just, I don't see it. This is, I guess, in 3D or something. I don't know what makes this any different, to be honest about it.
No, you can buy your own clothes. You can make yourself look different. You're going to have an animation of yours, an anime.
It's too much work.
Yeah, well.
I'll just stop you right there.
Right.
It's too much work.
It's too much work just getting dressed in the morning, for God's sakes, much less this.
Yeah, I'm not going to deal with it.
You know? So, the other thing that's really happening right now that seems to be entering into more so than it has been before. Remember Bill Gates was this great guy, then he turns into a piece of crap. Everybody hates him, and he's putting trackers in the vaccines. You know, that progression over the years.
Going, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Zuckerberg somehow seems to be going from young college guy, brilliant, robotic-like, maybe he's really an alien, to giving up the reins to Sandberg to help run things because, you know, it's beyond his ability, to stealing Facebook from a variety of people, to this really just horrible individual that is twisting society in such a way that is tearing at the fabric of the basic, you know, being of who we are and what we are.
Yeah. Thank you, media, for creating a monster. He, I did a Substack column. You probably haven't read it yet because you're out of commission on the whole Facebook situation. And I take a completely different approach than everyone else.
Oh, and where can they find that?
Dvorak.substack.com.
Dvorak.substack.com. Now, the other thing about Facebook, you may have covered this, is they're talking about changing their name.
No, I did not cover this because I think it's stupid. And hopefully they won't change their name. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, Facebook is a brand name. You know, this is like I don't know why you would do it. It's like changing the name of Chevrolet, you know, in the 50s. Let's change the name of this car, the most popular car in the world.
Well, one of the things they're going to do that I predict is either they're going to make it, which I think they're going to do for reasons that are interesting, is do a Google move that, you know, they did the Alphabet, which they have the parent company.
Yeah, they create a mother company.
Yeah, so they have a parent company, and then they have the sub companies, and that's kind of like, I think, doing it in a way to find the profitability points and doing a doing this in a, before the government comes after us, so that we could present, here's the companies, the way they should be split up.
Yeah, concept. I think you hit it. I think Google has done this. They have they have Waymo, for example, mm-hmm. which is under Alphabet. And if you want to invest in it, you have to buy Google stock, Google. And you could have all these little companies that are part of the main company that would normally just be under one umbrella, like Microsoft does, which almost got them into trouble, but the people are looking elsewhere now to bust somebody. And then you could probably spin stuff off easier.
Yeah, they would seem to me. I mean,
Waymo is a super, super targeted company for being spun off into a autonomous driving operation.
Yeah, I mean, they have Instagram, WhatsApp, all that, Oculus. So my prediction, the name is going to be Facebook Plus.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
I'll bet on that one not being the case.
Facebook Max. That will be the name. You know? Coinage making moves. Shiba Inu. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is an actual coin. This is one of the cryptocurrencies. So the Dogecoin got such success with having a Shiba Inu dog as its mascot icon that Shiba Inu has created, and now it's soared to a record high over the weekend. to become the 11th out of thousands, 11th largest cryptocurrency by market value. It was up 50% in the last 24 hours over on Sunday. And I think there was some thought that because of all the weird commentary and the memes and the very strange that I'd never understand Elon Musk tweets about some of the stuff, that he owned it and he will come out with this. There's a lot of excitement. Now, he did come out with his ownership, and it is Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Dogecoin. Those are the coins that he owns. So he says. So up on that. But Bitcoin hit a record last week after the Bitcoin futures ETF came live. Yeah, pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. Robinhood earnings after the close today, ugly. Robinhood, you know, the very exciting trading app for people that like to play games. And when they buy a stock, it, you get a nice fireworks explosion on your phone. And they'll give you a little, like, hand clapping, thumbs up. Hey, you bought a stock. And like, you bought four stocks today. You get a crown bonus, 32 chips to whatever, you know. They reported the metrics for the third quarter of September results. Missed on revenues. Guys, Q4 revenues below consensus. They report a loss of $2.06 per share. Expectations were for 20 cents. They may not be totally comparable, but revenues did rise 35% year over year to $364 million, which is still pretty pathetic for a $95 billion overall assets under custody company. Okay. Monthly active users increased 76% to 18.9 million compared to 10.7 million in the third quarter of 2020. But here's what's interesting. Massive loss. Their crypto activity declined from the record highs of the prior quarter, leading to considerably fewer new funded accounts, a slight decline in net cumulative fund accounts, and lower revenue in the third quarter compared to the second revenue. The revenue in the second quarter of 2021. So if they can't make money in this environment, not so good.
Good point.
Not so good, man. I mentioned Turkey. Their lira fell from a record as the country's latest diplomatic spat gave traders another reason to sell it. I was in Istanbul. I'd mentioned that. I wish I would have known that it was so weak. I would have bought something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, even before it got weak, the bargains in Turkey are unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just in the airport for about 2 hours. Oh, and the best...
They have shops there.
They do. It was so late. It was a weird hour. The best beer I had on my trip was the Lufthansa Lounge in Frankfurt, the Beck's on Tap, with a large warm pretzel.
Ooh.
That was good. That was good. You know, you get on the plane with Lufthansa, and the stewardess comes on and says, "You will sit down, and you will like it." You know, they're a little rough on that plane. China, COVID surge. Have you heard about this?
No, not really.
Yeah, well, because we have the COVID Delta. Wait for it. Plus.
Yeah, the Delta Plus.
Delta Plus. Same marketing company was used for COVID as it was for Disney.
And Paramount.
Yeah. China locked down a county that has seen the most COVID-19 cases in the country's latest Delta outbreak with the initial flare-up in the Northwest and spiraling to a nationwide surge. Now, understand that their surge is like 40 because they have a zero infection rate tolerance level. So all this is going on. Now, the problem here, my friend, is this going to lead to more issues and slowdowns and just a total bottleneck of shipping, of factory orders?
I don't know. You know, you wonder, but I mean, I know we're cleared here. And
is LA clear?
Oakland's clear. It's been clear since the end of July. And a lot of people don't realize that, but Oakland was cleared. All the action is down in Los Angeles where they're not, where there's the backups.
Right.
And it has to do with the unions. Some agreements were made in Oakland between the two major unions, longshoremen and somebody else, and they cleared up the whole mess. And it was just nuts. So we got plenty of goods and services everywhere. The trucks are here. The trains are going up and down, dropping stuff off. And there's no shortages anywhere. I mean, my wife goes to the Costco up in Squim, Washington. She says the place is half empty. I'm looking at it. Mine's filled to the rafters with stuff.
Wow.
We got the Halloween stuff. Everything is available. There's no, I mean, maybe the shortages are coming later, but I'm not seeing any evidence of it.
Well, for whatever reason, they're going to be once again entering into a period of lockdowns and it seems like it's never ending. It's never ending. They're talking about in Russia now. Russia has a massive surge and obviously even with vaccines, it's just disaster. When I was away, there was some news about PayPal looking to acquire Pinterest. And the whole time I only read part of some of them. I'm like, what? How does this even make any sense?
Why would they want Pinterest? Is there a...
Maybe because they can embed their own payment process into there, thereby doing what they did with eBay to start with. But it looks like, don't forget, PayPal started with eBay. Remember that?
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Well, they spun it off.
It worked out that they spun it up. I mean, it wasn't a permanent fixture.
Yeah, but now they're all of a sudden going to go backwards and buy a company that basically sells tchotchkes. And Etsy, it doesn't make any sense. Well, lo and behold, a couple of days later, PayPal comes out and says, oh, well, you know what? No, we have not. Now, he said something interesting. They approached Pinterest with a potential deal. The companies discussed a potential price of around $70 a share, but they came back and said that they are not at this time. They use the word at this time. They are not looking or in discussions to buy Pinterest. So they left the door open, it seems. Now, inflation. I want to go down this list really quickly. Paul Tudor Jones is really concerned about inflation, and he says it's getting out of hand. Jack Dorsey said that Paul Tudor Jones is a very...
Dorsey doesn't seem to even understand what hyperinflation is. Where he says it's here. Where?
It's here, and it's spreading across the world.
Does he know what hyperinflation is?
I don't think he was born during the period of hyperinflation of the...
Well, he must have read about Brazil during its hyperinflation era. That was pretty recent, actually.
In Venezuela.
I was in Brazil the first time I went there, as a matter of fact, during a hyperinflation period. And, you know, the money was changing on a daily basis. I still have a 500,000 Cruzeiros, which was one of the money things. They keep changing from one thing to another. I have a $500,000 bill.
Worth nothing.
No, it's worth something as a collectible. It's worth, I don't know, $20.
Well, Dorsey says hyperinflation here is going to spread. The Fed thinks it's temporary, right? Numbers show big issues as price continues to climb and outlook for supply chains worsen. Here's what really made me very concerned. When Yellen, she was in a speech, she said, you know what, we may have inflation here for a bit longer than we thought, but we see it going back to normal levels by the mid to end of 2022. But then she ended with, and we do not see the U.S. losing control of inflation. I'm like, wait, why is she bringing that up? That they're losing control of this? Seems to me that he or she in this matter that protests too much. That maybe there's something going on that's really different than what she's saying. I just found it really interesting that they had to bring that up, that there's now they're defending the potential that it's going to get out of control. Now, Kathy Wood, they bring her in all the time because she seems to be on the other side of the fence, which is all about pumping up, of course, her positions. She disputed hyperinflation. She says prices are going to fall after the holidays. She said in 2008 and 2009, when the Fed started quantitative easing, she thought that inflation would take off. And I was wrong. Instead, velocity, the rate of which money turns over per year, declined, taking away its inflationary sting. Velocity is still falling, she said. I would tend to agree. I've talked about the velocity of money in the past.
Yeah, I agree too. I have total agreement with this. the people who, the Chicken Littles who are running around and with their arms in the air in a circle yelling about hyperinflation, that she's right. It's the same. I heard the same thing in 2008, 2009.
I think we have inflation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hyperinflation is a whole different discussion. And I think they're using, what you're telling and what you're saying is they're using that modifier too loosely.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think we're going to have hyperinflation. It would really be, I can't even imagine what that would be for a developed company to have, a country to have hyperinflation.
Especially when you're the standard currency of the world.
Right, exactly. Which is, again, why you can't get off of that. You need to be on a currency where you can regulate.
Yeah, the reserve currency.
Yep. Fed hike update. The rate probabilities, there's some charts here that I laid out.
By the way, I want to stop for a second. Yeah. It disturbs me that Jack Dorsey feels this way when he runs a company called Square, which is solidly involved with payment processing.
And he also has a big stake in Bitcoin. That's what this is all about. It's the cryptocurrency that he put on the platform to trade.
Oh.
He's doing this to scare everybody, to bring them over to the coin so they trade it on their platform.
Yeah, so he can get off.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to always look at what the angle is. And somewhere in between Jack Dorsey and Janet Yellen is somewhere the truth.
Fed hike.
Probabilities are looking like we're going to have two hikes by December 2022. Nothing too exciting about this. I think that's been what the expectations have been. And another hike probably somewhere in end of 2022 to 2023, which is what we thought. So, big deal. Fed trading update. The Boston Federal Reserve will not release documents that could show whether its former president vetted a series of personal investments. How great would it be anybody in Congress or the Fed and just do whatever the hell you want?
Yeah.
Right?
Not only that, but you create the rules that affect the prices and values of the stocks.
Right. And you just have total control and you can't be, nobody's going to come after you.
No, it's a dream come true for a trader.
Yep. The Fed announced Thursday that its policymakers and senior staff would be barred from investing in individual stocks and bonds. They would also have to provide 45 days advance notice of any trade and receive prior approval from ethics officials. And they would have to hold the investments for at least a year. That ruling was violated how many times recently? If that was to be in effect, right?
Yeah.
And nothing is going to happen. No action is going to be taken against those who profited from this. There'll be no clawbacks like they're trying to do to CEOs. There'll be no hand slapping. They're just going to go on their merry way, getting their pension for the rest of their lives and keeping all their profits. Thank you very much. I think this is great.
Yeah, where's the clawback?
Nothing. UPS profiting. United Parcel Service reported a 23% rise in quarterly profits on Tuesday. This is pretty cool. Finally, there was a big problem with profitability of FedEx and UPS for a while. And there was a difficulty getting product and just also
to the guess. Somebody had to do with Amazon. I think Amazon was gouging them.
Could be. I actually saw my first Amazon plane this weekend. Never saw those before. But the third quarter operating profits rose to $2.9 billion or $2.65 a share from $2.36 billion or $2.24 a share. That's pretty good because not only did we see a revenue increase, but the commensurate increase in net was good, especially when you have higher costs of wages and fuel. Those are two things that really drive the costs when it comes to UPS and FedEx. So I think there's some interesting situation going on there. Actually, UPS was up 6% today. I think it was about
6%. Figure out, where this is headed. Well, you saw your first UPS airplane, which I've seen plenty.
Amazon.
I haven't seen an Amazon. Yeah, you're right.
Amazon airplane.
But I saw my first Amazon. You know that with these new trucks, the Amazon trucks that are delivering that are owned by owner operated kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really. Amazon is not responsible. I mean, this is the greatest scam I've ever seen. I saw one that was the size of a UPS truck, a big giant one.
Yeah, I've seen those, the smile trucks.
They have the smaller ones. They're all over the place. they're pretty much the size of a small or a large van. But I never saw the big, giant, blocky, big square, giant thing that's driving around and dropping off stuff.
What about the 18-wheeler? Have you seen 18-wheeler? 18-wheelers. I've seen those too.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the drop-offs, the ones that are in the neighborhoods.
Yeah. Let's see what else. I just want to mention for a moment, there's some K-Shill that's up a lot and Koreans getting advice over the internet that we put some notes on. But, you know, I just want to mention how disgusted I am in the Democrats.
Your buddies.
This broken promises, which I don't agree with what they were doing anyway on some of this, but just the hot air that comes out of this group. And now this deal they're trying to do that used to be $3.5 billion, that's now maybe $1.5 billion. That Manchin is just all trillion. Over everything.
Trillion.
Yeah, trillion. Did I say billion? Yeah, trillion.
You said billion.
Yeah, billion. Trillion. And it looks like they're just trying to do a deal to get a deal done that says so they can say they did a deal, no matter how crappy it is.
Oh, it's really bad. The stuff that's in that $3.5 trillion thing is just a joke.
And everything, every single thing comes back to Joe Manchin. Every single item they do. Oh, I don't like it. No good. Back to the drawing board. It's like this one guy is controlling the fate of all of this.
Yeah. Well, there's also the woman in Arizona who seems to be holding her own. Seneca or whatever her name is.
All right, quick announcement of the winner of the close to the pin for Moderna. The price of the stock ended at, let's see, $326.54. The average entry from all of the listeners was $315.66. Not too bad, $10 off, about 2.5%. The winner came in about $1.35 off of the actual Rick H., 0.41% away. So Rick is going to get a copy and is already sent of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, my first book. And I did sign it and send it to him. And a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt designed by Jimbo. Our runner-up was Ian. He was $2 off. There you go. Pretty cool, huh?
Not bad.
Pretty good. I think it's pretty good.
You've got some good guys who can pick prices.
Yep. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. Well, you, sir.
I did it. Finally.
You hit the 100% club.
I did.
Pretty good
100%.
Job.
100%. It's hard to do with these rules that we have in this game.
Yeah. 100% for FVC Bank Corp. It's even more impressive that it's over a year on the list. Over a year.
7/8/2020, and it has not been kicked off, and it's just crept slowly to 100% gain.
Yeah. Amazing.
Double.
Amazing.
Double.
Amazing.
In fact, this whole list is pretty phenomenal. All the green. It's all green except for a couple old dogs.
And most of them, if you notice, not only the green, but they're yours.
I have a lot of them. Yeah, actually, I'm looking now. I've been nailing them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I was looking at the differential of like, where is my picks? My picks, I usually put a lot more volatile names on here. So I get kicked out somewhere along the line. Some of these weren't as volatile. That's why they're on the list so long. When you have stuff on for a year and doesn't have a 10 or 15% downstroke with all that's been going on, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the two top ones are on this list right now are mine, which is the Medtronic at 61% gain and then FVC at 100% gain. And they've been on forever.
Yeah, forever. You're in a long-term capital gain at these.
That's what it looks like, yeah. I'm a happy camper.
So pretty much things are looking good. A lot of green here. United Parcel Service up 26%. That's my pick. I did it for cold storage, thinking we're going to have this big need for vaccines.
Yeah, you did it for the wrong reason. It did fine.
Yeah, exactly. Gold is not doing so well. That's my pick as well. A few others came off. Boston Beer is doing well. You picked that. Editas 2.49.
That's the only short on there, by the way.
Short is Boston Beer. Yep, it is. The only short on this list.
One short and it's still up.
Unbelievable.
I'm actually surprised that any short has managed to stay on here.
Yep, I agree. Analog Devices, you picked that. Upward Channel Insiders last week. I have one pick for this week. Talked about a little bit. Talked around it a little bit. Mentioned the other company. This is going to be a company that pairs with another one on the list already. UPS. I'm going to put FedEx. I think the chart may be turning the corner. Just okay. Absolutely blown out for a long period of time. And maybe things are going to start getting back to normal. And if we do see any if we see a pullback in gas, $84 a barrel for WTI crude right now. But maybe there'll be some benefit.
I got nothing.
Nothing.
I'm coasting.
Coasting. Oh yeah, you're just riding on your profits is what you're doing.
That's what it looks like.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, well, good stuff right there. I feel good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back and back safe.
Yeah, safe. That's the important part. All right. Well, with that, I guess we're going to end the show, and I'll see you next week.
Okay. Talk to you then.
All right.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida, and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.